Now, what did I miss on that? Let's get to the report, what is happening. The first report.
Well, we have to elect
the vice chair is the next thing. I'm sorry. The vice chair is the next thing. Now, so we have to do this all over here. They're going to be counted for a while.
We have to make a motion.
Well, I make a motion that we refer to the
report.
May I make an informal inquiry? You just said something about the person recusing themselves. They would just recuse themselves for the particular incident at question. They wouldn't have to recuse themselves permanently.
Exactly.
So that the person who then took their place would just take their place temporarily for that one issue.
Yes.
Normally, when someone recuses themselves, it's a temporary situation in Chris up. But you don't put the alternate in place. The committee would simply function with four instead of five members for that particular issue. You can't have someone coming in and then leaving.
Why not?
Because there's a process that the committee is developing. Instead of relationships that they develop, refusal is just a momentary, temporary thing. Normally, when it's done, you don't have to go on the committee, but someone
refuses to
Can I make a motion that we, while we're counting the votes, that we move switch three and four, we invert them so we can get on with committee reports, we'll get our results, and then we can do an election for vice chair.
I would oppose that motion. I would move that we elect the vice chair right now. It seems like
my only concern is that we've got two elections going at the same time. It could get confusing for poor Terry.
I would object because once we know the results, I would not want someone who's a vice chair to also be on the committee. Mm-hmm. So the chair and vice chair are both on the five-person committee. Mm-hmm. So I believe we should wait until we have the results and then move to vice chair.
Ms. Goodman?
I would, if that was a concern of someone, I would say that should have been brought up earlier, because I don't want to be vice chair, but should I have wanted to have been vice chair, I would rather probably have been vice chair than on this committee, and to have somebody exclude me from the committee because from being vice chair, I would feel would be really
I don't want to pick up instead of getting on with business. A motion has been put on the floor. It hasn't been seconded yet. There is a second. Any discussion? Any further discussion?
What's the motion?
The motion is to switch item three and four around.
So we can get on with business.
If there are no objections,
There is
an objection. Okay. So we vote on it then? Or we want further discussion?
It requires two-thirds.
Further discussion?
Question
is called. It takes a two-thirds majority to change it at this point. All those in favor of switching item three and item four around, please show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. There's not a two-thirds majority, so it stays as it is. Okay, now we will go on with the nominations of the election of the vice chair. Yes, Ms. Goodman.
I nominate Steve Weatherway.
Steve?
Can we please delineate what the tasks of the vice chair would be so that whoever is nominated understands what their role and duty is?
I can't hear you. There's too much talking.
Okay.
Would you repeat that?
Can we just explain the role of the vice chair so that the person being nominated understands what he or she is expected to do.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, Sherna, you're, why don't you explain?
It doesn't seem to me we can find the role of the chair, so how are we going to find the role of the vice chair?
Well, let me. Does anybody else want to throw it in?
We have the bylaws with us. Now, why don't we start there?
Yeah, why don't we start with the actual bylaws?
Most elementarily, it's to take the place of the chair when the chair is unable to fulfill whatever his or her function is, and or any of the assigned duties of the chair of the body may give to the vice chair to do otherwise.
The need of a vice chair to work closely in tandem with a chair so that between the two of them can get the work done. And also, the vice chair at times of certain votes is very important, even more so than the chair, because the chair is precluded from the vote at certain times.
Anybody else want to
chime
in on this one yet?
Okay. I'm going to arbitrarily say that my opinion is that since functionally, not talking about what's in any book, functionally, RICO and other chairs have the chair has done a lot to be the PR representative of the LSP. So the chair is expected to record parts of the station, sometimes be part of radio shows and report to the listeners, go to the station and talk to people, go to community events. That's a lot of work, and the chair is also ultimately responsible for the conduct of the meeting, making sure everything is done, and chairing the meeting. So in my opinion, the vice chair should have the role of stepping in for the chair when the chair can't chair the meeting, but also making sure that the venues are arranged for the meeting, making sure the venues are paid for, or delegating that responsibility to others, making sure that the minutes get distributed at the meeting, that the agenda gets done and distributed at the meeting, basically the housekeeping short, because it's the chair has a lot of work to do just to do the PR relationship between the LSP and the station, the staff, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say that that's functionally what's sort of been going on, and I think that would be a good way to delineate those differences in responsibility.
Please.
Just real quick, I think Grace's old history is recently, but I also think you should refer to the bylaws and also to Robert Susan-Walter to add some discipline to the vice chair.
Thank you. Did you have something? Did someone have the bylaws here? Because I can't find them in all these.
Here's the bylaws. Anyone want to look at it? Look it up. Anyone want to look in Robert's rules and find the reference?
One person with the Robert's rules book. There he is.
Look it up in the index.
Yeah.
Point of order.
Yes, Ms.
Ross. We have an hour and a half. We have not had committee reports for 3 months. There's an hour for committee reports and 20 minutes for the GM report. We have to move the agenda.
The agenda, that is to say, to go on with this election, I move Steve Weatherwax. Are there any other nominations?
Any other nominations? Ms. Love?
Donna Warren?
No. I have to respond.
Chris Condon?
Oh my God, I don't have time. But it would be a learning experience, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I would just like to say on my own behalf, I The last vice chair had some personal issues that he had to spend a lot of time with, and I wouldn't like the family issue. I would like to have a chair that actually can give me some time and can help out a little more. So if you don't have the time, please let us know now. If you do, take on this responsibility, be willing to fulfill it.
If I could, like to quickly read very quickly, so before the final vote, a vice president is the president for any reason vacates the chair or is absent. The vice president or first vice president normally should take the chair unless he also, because of involvement in the debate or for any other reason, should disqualify himself from proceeding in the particular case. And if the first vice president is absent or must disqualify himself or herself, the duty of president devolves on the other vice president in order. For this reason, the bylaws should number the vice president in their, if there are more than one, and now there could be more than one, of course, and persons should be elected to specific positions.
Okay, thank you so much. And we only have one, so that clarifies that. Any more nominations, please? Any more nominations for vice chair? As it stands right now, we only have one nominee, which is
I didn't decline the nomination, but I just was expressing some concern because I travel overseas periodically, and I'm willing to.
Oh, you didn't decline.
No, I didn't decline, but you might want to consider Bella's suggestion of having more than one.
Right. Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Point of information. When you travel, on average, how long do you travel? Is it a week?
About a month, twice a year.
Oh, that's not enough. Your term will be up after December anyhow.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's move on with this agenda. Any more nominations, please? We have two as it stands now. Mr. Weatherwax and Mr. Condon. Any more? Any more nominations? Third time. Any more nominations?
Can I make a nomination?
Yes.
Would anyone else like to be vice chair?
That's a better way.
Okay, hearing nobody else.
Just before we close it up, I would like to hear what it's
a really almost significant thing to do. The vice chairperson of the board shall, in the absence of the chairperson, preside at a meeting of the board of directors and exercise perform such powers and duties as may be from time to time assigned to him or her by the board or prescribed by these bylaws. So this, I think that that's
probably open for negotiation. Yes. Rico?
Yes, good.
I just wanted to, just in reference to availability and so forth, I just wanted to, one of the reasons that I thought Steve would be particularly good, especially for arranging venues for us and getting minutes out, you know, distributed, is that he works at the station, he's at the front desk, he has access to a computer, you know, right there, and that was one of the reasons I thought he would make a good
choice. Thank you, Mr. Condon.
I'm going to defer in favor of Steve because I think that Steve has so much more experience and he lives at the station and he's much more likely to be able to carry out the functions.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. So it makes everything very simple. Three times here. Any more nominations? Any more nominations? Any more nominations? Nominations. So we have one. The next item on the agenda is the personnel committee report. Who's heading that?
Actually, you know what?
Probably
move that because she stepped out
of the meeting room. Oh, okay. Does someone want to call her in, or should we just move to the next thing? Thank you, Mr. Leah.
on the subject of the personnel committee, and I don't know, I would like to take a leave of absence from the personnel committee, and I don't know if we're permitted to do that, but my mother has been hospitalized twice in the last 2 months. It screws up quorum if you have extra people who aren't showing up, and I would like to take a leave of absence from the personnel committee for,
Do we have an alternate for that?
And I don't know if we did. I mean, I know Adelson took a leave of absence, and I don't know if that's possible or if I just...
We could excuse your absence ahead of time.
Okay. Maybe I'll just keep asking for a leave of absence. But then it's true that the quorum, and that's the issue.
What do you think about this? The quorum that you may have to take a leave of absence.
I'd like a two-month leave of absence.
I have no problem with that at all. In fact, I think it would be a wonderful way to solve many of the quorum problems around Pacifica. If people could take leave of absence and just announce they're not going to be there and not be counted toward quorum.
Should I leave that in your hands then?
No, I'm fine with it, yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, personnel report, you are on the stage.
I'm on the stage. Well, you all have in front of you three resolutions.
Do you have any more copies?
Yeah.
Come to order, please.
You have in front of you two resolutions passed at the August 13th meeting of the Personnel Committee. I'm going to present them to this body because they were approved unanimously by the Personnel Committee. However, we have gotten some new information that, like Jack, requires me to amend the resolutions coming out of this committee. So let me explain. The Personnel Committee was hoping to do an evaluation of the new GM before the end of their probationary period, looking at giving that GM some direct feedback and some real feel for what we were looking for, how they were producing, and how those things were meshing. We got word from Dominguez Estrada before she quit that she would not approve such a thing because the bylaws call for an annual review and no more. The two resolutions in front of you, I would like to first read and then read with and then insert a couple of words to amend. And we can talk about the amendments first. I think we can take the amendments as a package anyway, not do them separately. We may want to break out the final votes for the two resolutions. I don't know. The first is a request for self-evaluation based on a standardized template prepared by the Personnel Committee and based on the pertinent job description will be requested of all new GM and PD hires to be completed by the end of their probationary period. I would like to add to be completed voluntarily by the end of their probationary period. Do you understand the distinction there?
Yes.
Okay. The next one is, the Personnel Committee shall prepare a standard evaluation form to be completed by the LSB prior to the end of the probationary period of the relevant hire. Based on the LSB responses and the self-evaluation, the Personnel Committee shall prepare a draft evaluation. I've gotten a note here from somebody, I don't know what it means. Within 2 weeks prior to the expiration of the probationary period for the LSB's adoption, I would like to add, in the top line, to be completed by the LSB with the approval of the new hire prior to the end of the probationary period. Again, making this voluntary on their part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think that brings that back in line with the recommendation of Domingo before she left.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. O'Brien.
My only question is how voluntary is voluntary if the person says, no, I don't want to do this, is that going to cost them a job?
I don't see how. It can't be a standard when the annual evaluation comes up. It can't be in those standards, and that's a standard form.
I think that it may be true that we have to, per the bylaws, we have, actually, can somebody else go first, because I want to look up something in the bylaws.
Okay, great.
You'll put me on that
one.
It appears that there's complete exclusion of any sort of staff participation in either of these evaluations. Is that by design, or is that an oversight?
May I answer?
Please.
Mr. Chair? I believe that the preparation of the standard evaluation, you're right. It is not there.
If I can clarify,
does anyone from the committee have, did we discuss this? Am I missing something?
I don't think so. One moment, wait to be recognized, please. Wait to be recognized. The staff has a chance right now. Is Ms. Goodman?
Can I clarify my comment? I was mostly referring to the second part, that the evaluation form, what I'm trying to imply is that it should be completed by the LSD and staff. As far as preparing it, I think the committee should do it, but I think that there should be some sort of involvement with staff in filling out the evaluation.
We have some members of the committee who'd like to speak to this, Mr. Chair.
Okay, next on the stack is Ms. Aaron. She is busy. Ms. Goodman is next, and then Mr. Johnson is after.
I would like to hear from members of the committee, because I may be saying something here. We have Ann, we have Cherna, we have Jack.
Okay, Ms. Goodman, can you wait? Mr. Johnson, please.
Yeah, I was just going to point out that the staff is involved just as the staff is involved with the LSV. You know, you're sitting here. That means you're part of the LSV.
And
we have a non-paid staff member who was there at the meeting who, I believe, approved the motion. The fact is that staff doesn't have a separate channel of power, you know, around the backside of the LSV. They're part of the LSV. They're represented here, and that's, you know, how the bylaws envision staff involvement is through the LSV. That's why we're all sitting here together.
Thank you. Mr. Point?
Yeah. Am I? Yeah, it seems to me what confusing things here. One thing is the comment about the annual evaluation, which is not the same as a survey or question response vis-a-vis the board and the manager. That's appropriate at any time. Not the same. It's not the same as the annual evaluation. The second point is the staff, without whom the station would not run. It could run without the manager. It has, in fact, in the past, and without the board, may I say. But the staff certainly should have a say-so as appropriate to the staff vis-a-vis the manager and the program director. So these are, we mustn't confuse things here. It's one thing to say we want to have a feeling of how things are going. That's good and appropriate. But it's not the same as the evaluation, annual evaluation. And therefore, I think the staff indeed should have a say-so on its own and or with the LSB and what we arrange. So not to confuse these things.
Thank you. Ms. Aaron is now ready, and then Ms. Goodman will.
Okay. I've just taken a little
picture
of the powers and duties of the local station board. And I don't want to bother you with reading them off, but there are some flaws in these motions. I think we should refer them back to the committee for further work, because I disagree with what Dominga has recommended, because we have every right to evaluate if we see fit. And anyway, we need to look at the bylaws more closely in the committee and come back with a better a set of motions for this body.
Second. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Goodman,
do
you still
want
to speak?
Well, yes. I have just a couple of comments to make. First of all, I'm generally approve of the concept.
There's a motion to refer on the table. It's been seconded. There's no discussion.
Point of information.
Yes.
That is,
yes.
What was the response or the answer as to what is the provision that occurred? That was the question we asked in committee.
She did not respond. I forwarded her response to everybody on the committee. She did not answer that question.
So we don't know.
We don't know.
Thank you.
Any more questions, Ms. Goodman?
Well, I was going to say that the probationary period is an important question, because if we want to give some input prior to the end of the probationary period, we want to make sure that if it's a 3-month period, that's one thing, and if it's a 6-month or 9 months, it's another thing. So we need to, the probationary period of the last DM, I believe, was a 6-month period, but I am not 100%.
Is the motion on the floor to refer to the committee?
Second. The motion is on the floor to refer to the committee. It has been seconded.
I'd like to call the question.
Yes. The question has been called. All those in favor of deferring this? Are there any objections?
To ending
debate on this? Seeing none, all those in favor of referring this back to the committee, hands up please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All those opposed? Abstention? 1 abstention, 2 abstention, 3 abstention. No opposed.
4
abstentions. Thank you. So it goes back to the committee.
I have a point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
The chairperson of the Community Advisory Board is here this evening, Quasi, and he has requested 5 minutes to be included in the committee report, so I was wondering if that could be happen without any, without objection.
We do have a very tight agenda, but if there are no objections, then you can keep it to 5 minutes.
We're at time for the night.
I do object. We keep not getting to the committee report.
Can we put it in the limited comments
or the GM report?
Okay.
Limited comments, if you allow that.
After the GM report?
Out of courtesy, may I give him 5 minutes of finance committee time, since we're agendized at 15 minutes?
That is your prerogative.
I can fit everything in 7 minutes. We have one motion. Yes. Thank you.
If there are no objections, I'm fine with that. Okay, moving on. Anything else?
That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Next on is the Finance Committee.
No, I said PRC is next.
I thought that they had abnormally moved to after government.
Well, the Community Advisory Board has been meeting the fourth Thursday of each month and will continue to for a while. The fourth Thursday of each month from 7 to 9 p.m. at the station. I've been very pleased with the kind of input that we've gotten and participation. We have been dealing with kind of the nuts and bolts of how the Community Advisory Board will function in terms of building itself, and also a process for including community organizations in the process of beyond just individuals. We've had two meetings where we've had really good substantive discussion of that, and I think our next meeting is going to kind of cap that discussion and move with it. We were invited by the Community Outreach Committee to come to their meeting, and I thought that for the most part our dialogue was good, although I'll criticize myself for going off on Bella.
I'm right here.
But Bella and I have resolved our issues on that and moved on. Basically I felt very good with the general progress.
Order. Sorry, can we have some order, please?
I have had 3 or 4 meetings with the new GM, and he's been very supportive. And I want to thank everybody on the LSB for the support that you've given to us and the cooperation that you've extended, and the spirit that that's been and has been very, very good, and very encouraging, and very non-factional. So thank you to all of you. I have been very concerned about the general factionalism in and around the station, and I've been fighting that real hard in the cab, not to let that become a factor in how we function. My primary concern right now is just the kind of pull myself back a little bit and not be too overly aggressive in conducting that fight, because that could be very factional too. But overall, I'm quite pleased with how things have developed. We do have a plan for building the cab now that I think we're coming to consensus on. Overall, I'm just very pleased with the general process and how everyone has related to this. So thank you, one and all.
If I may, before you applaud, it's only fair also for the audience, you know, can you give us kind of a summation, kind of a bullet point of the areas that you have reached or that you're about to reach consensus of, so that you give us kind of an update?
Yeah, basically what we're striving for is a process where we will have two major meetings each year. And at these two major meetings, we truly want to plug in community organizations. We're structuring it that way because we know that a lot of these community organizations cannot really commit themselves to an ongoing kind of month-by-month process. We're hoping to work this. We're really hoping to work this in a way that will allow them to participate, but also allow the work to go on month to month and week to week. What we're talking about is on 1 6-month poll, they have basically a community building meeting where we have reports from the LSD, reports from the station manager, and invite community organizations to come and get to know each other more, plug into what the process is. And then on the opposite pole, a one-day, day-long meeting that would review the report of the CAB on the issues of what needs to go into the program, what is needed. And at that point, we'd like the community organizations to participate in that day-long event, put their two cents worth into that process, and come up with a report that, in fact, would be reflective of the broad community needs, including the participation of community organizations, and kind of putting a seal on that report. Beyond that, as I said, we're meeting the fourth Thursday of each month. I hope to spin that off into bi-monthly meetings and to have focus group meeting in the interim on a monthly basis. Groups that deal with particular constituencies of youth, elderly groups, women's organizations, ethnic community group names, labor, ecology issues, et cetera, et cetera. We're in the process of kind of formulating those groups and now trying to recruit people to work with those particular focus groups to build them up and bring in groups that relate to those different constituencies to take part in the process of surveying and assessing what we're doing.
And the mission is, of course, to expand the mission of the
Pacific
Center.
It's time.
So there's time.
Are you going to copy the...
That is time. I would like to say this. Thank you, Kwasi. We have talked about this, and it's been going on, forming a CAB, and it was tried and failed, and finally it got together, and you've taken the bull by the horn. And we look forward to hearing more reports of what you guys are doing, because that's what the station is about, for the community and of the community. And your committee is very important, so we look forward to it, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to request 2 minutes to read a CAB resolution that I authored in support of community advisory boards and that passed on the Pacifica National Board by a vote of 11 to 5. Is it okay if I take a minute to read it?
I have no objection.
Okay. Yes, but it's more appropriate here. We'll take 2 minutes off my part of the PAB report, okay?
Okay.
I'll read it quickly. Compliance with CTV Community Advisory Board requirements. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting requires that each of our stations have a functioning community advisory board, as it is important that we ensure full compliance with Corporation for Public Broadcasting guidelines. Be it resolved that CPB funding be distributed to each station only after receipt of the following proof of CAB activity during the quarter immediately preceding such disbursement. Thus, a minimum of one CAB meeting per quarter must be reported. These reports shall be sent to both the CFO and ED of a national office and shall contain, 1, proof of the announcement of a CAB meeting or meetings on the station website and on the air in the preceding quarter.
Such announcements should include a statement that all CAB meetings are open to the public, should contain a way for members of the listening community to apply for CAB membership, and a way to submit input to the CAB. 2, a roster of the all of the members and attendees of CAB meetings, including their names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, and organizational affiliation, if any. 3, minutes of a minimum of one CAB meeting from the previous quarter. So CPB funding will not be distributed unless those criteria are sent in writing to the CFO and the ED.
Thank you so much. Before we move on to finance, I have one question. Is the CAB still open for membership or no?
Oh, yeah. And it's always open.
It's always open. Great. Thank you so much. Thank you. Finance Committee, Ms. Reed.
Okay. We have a motion that's in front of all of you, which seems self-explanatory to me to running any business, but apparently that has not been the case in station for some time. It's a time card motion. People be required to at least let someone know they are in the building. And this has been a recurring problem for our business manager who has to prepare payroll, because right now when people are not there, it's purely self-compliant and voluntary whether they notify anyone that they didn't come into work that day. And it is not checked against their vacation time necessarily unless they've reported themselves. So this seems unacceptable, and the law requires that companies keep time of their employees. So we're not asking for anything, you know, atrociously restrictive, you know, that you clock in and out for lunch, but merely that you clock in when you come in for the day and that you clock out when you leave for the day. So if everyone will read the motion, please. I think it's fairly self-explanatory, although rather, you know, we put a lot of detail in there so that people who didn't want to use one system could use the other, and hopefully everyone
can
agree.
Could you be
so kind as to read the motion? All employees use time cards or their Passpoint electronic key cards to record when they enter the building and clock out at the end of the day when they leave, thus creating an easily tracked record of attendance. Documentation of out-of-building activity can be made by email to the employee senior with a copy sent to the KPSK business manager. Failure to clock in and out on a day that the employee is scheduled to work will count against that employee's attendance or against their vacation time. Anomalies such as comp time can be dealt with on a case-by-case basis as long as they are documented and approved by the employee's supervisor and the business manager is notified. Kinks will be worked out by supervisors in conjunction with the business manager, and if this policy needs to be modified, it can be sent back to the Finance Committee and LSB for modification. All overtime needs to be pre-approved. It should be noted that California law requires the use of time records. If the employee opts to use a time card system of reporting attendance, it must be signed and approved for each pay period by the employee's immediate superior. This approval by the employee's superior is not necessary if the electronic key card system is used. All time cards need to be submitted either by the employee or his or her supervisor to the business manager at the end of each payroll period. Motion passed without objection out of the Finance Committee. So.
Thank you so much. We got a couple people on the first. Ms. Gloves?
What's the point of order? I do not think it's appropriate for this to be an LSC motion, but no Finance Committee motion. This is a decision that the GM makes, not the LSB. And I think it's up to the GM to decide how he or she, in this case he, wants to deal with this issue. It's totally inappropriate for us, let alone the Finance Committee, to be...
Well, it's been brought... if you are correct, Chern, I mean, I will stand corrected, but it's been brought to the Finance Committee for, like, the past 8 months by the business manager. And Sean was at our finance meeting, and no one objected.
I'm sorry. I'm allowed to reply.
I'll be happy to withdraw it, but I've been informed that we've been operating that time card for about 3 years. I realize our GM is new, and if he wants to assure us that this system will go into place immediately, I'm sure, you know, he was at the meeting where this passed. And, you know, we're not trying to hamstring
the
point
is what our
role
is.
Thank you. Your point has been made, and then an answer to next on this, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, it's maybe out of order in the sense that it's micromanaging the station, and that's not, you know, we're actually sort of a bit far to some point the bylaws from doing that. Though, of course, we are allowed to set policy, which would be something like, you know, there must be some sort of accurate means of timekeeping or something like that. This is, you know, seems very specific, but also I actually have a point of information I was going to ask people who still work at the station. I know at one point you had to have a signed time card that you filled out yourself telling when you were there.
4 years ago.
Okay. Can I clarify one thing before discussion ensues too much further just on this point?
Yes, please.
As a point of clarity, because, you know, we're also on the National Finance Committee, the National Pacifica National Financial Policies and Procedures Manual, my best friend in all these PQ details, mandates that the treasurer, and I think that would be me, see to it that the station complies with things like time card adherence. And that's in a manual passed by the PNB for like 4 or 5 straight years in a row. And it's laid out right there. And all I'm trying to do is implement policy set at the national level.
Thank you. So. Mr. Alexander, and then Mrs. Goodman.
I have my
question. I've got you, and you're after her. Goodman.
Essentially, this is just a recommendation to the GM. It comes from the business manager who has repeatedly stated a problem with this. He walks around, he doesn't see a particular employee at work, he doesn't know if they should be there or not, he has no paperwork to confirm, and so consequently they get paid for the day anyway. And as a business manager, he doesn't think this is a good business practice. The finance committee voted unanimously on this, and it's California law requirement. And as far as timesheets go, many employees do use timesheets still. Board operators, for example, and stringers would use timesheets. Some temporary employees like that would use timesheets.
Did you want to go?
Sure. And I was really against something like this. It's not going to be a real popular thing by the staff, but it's a basic thing wherever the heck you work. We need to really start adhering to good, strong financial practices at these
right.
times.
Okay, next on the stack is Ms. Goodman, Gordon, and then O'Brien, and then Rafferty.
Okay.
It's not Gordon.
This really is an inappropriate motion for the Finance Committee to make in that it is micromanaging. On the other hand, a motion that says that it should be the policy of the station to keep track of attendance pursuant to the PNB mandate and the national mandates and California state law would be an appropriate thing. And as far as the PNB goes, the carrying out of the PNB resolution is a whole different kind of thing because the PNB is the board of directors of the station. And I think that the PNB then needs to relate to the executive director,
okay.
requiring the executive director to require general managers right. to require time cards.
Thank you, Mr. Gordon. Mr. Gordon is not here today. I'm only going to speak to the question of the appropriateness of it. I'm not going to speak to the motion itself. It seems like a perfectly reasonable thing to do, but I've been avoiding having to punch time cards all my life, so I don't think I have anything to say about it. But I'm going to speak to the question of appropriateness. I think that the LSB, there's no such thing as an inappropriate motion for the LSB. The LSB can make a motion on anything it bloody well pleases. And if that's treated as a recommendation or a mandate or whatever, that's to do with the particular situation. But I reject the idea of an inappropriate motion. There's no such thing. Mr. O'Brien?
Yeah, I'd like to associate myself with the remarks of Mr. Alexander, Mr. Reese, and Mr. Condon. And I got to tell you, it's not micromanaging when you're making sure that KPFK is not violating California law, which seems to be what we're doing right now. I don't call that micromanaging, I call that common sense.
Ms. Rafferty?
I say this is absolutely micromanaging, and I think there are some motions that are dangerous territories for us to enter into, and I think this is one of them. In spite of what Mr. Gordon has to say.
Mr. Gordon is not here.
He's
not on the board of it.
I object to this, first of all, because this is the LSB. Excuse me. This is the LSB instructing business manager. That's inappropriate. We only have authority to talk to the general manager. I object to the word superior in here. I think that's a horrible choice of language coming from this body. I suspect California law, in fact, makes a distinction between exempt and non-exempt employees when it comes to clocking in. And all in all, I would move to refer this back to committee immediately.
Point of order.
We
have a time certain for Moses. We have a time certain. We're going to have to stop this right now. We have a time certain for the GM. He has arrived, and we will pick it up after he finishes.
We'll lay on the table.
We'll pick it up later. Yeah?
The Programming Oversight Committee is part of the GM report and the CGM.
Okay. That works for me.
And I could cut it down.
Okay.
Pardon?
How many minutes?
Well, yes. We're originally on 15, but I think we could do it in
5. Is it going to be part of the GM 30 minutes? part of the, what is it, 20 for me, Bill?
20 plus Q&A, 10 minutes. So.
An additional 10 for Q&A?
Yeah.
Or is it 20?
20 plus 10.
20 plus 10.
We have plenty of time.
Who's a part of that?
Let's go.
Hold on, before we do, Mr. Ritz, just something.
We are going to go back to that.
We're going to put it on the table for the time being. Okay. Ms. Love?
Yes, I had distributed via email the Programming Oversight Committee report to the LSB for this date. I don't know if people bother to read reports when I send them, but I'm sick and tired of printing 40 copies every meeting. I've brought these things several times. I made 10 copies, but people haven't looked at it or want a copy. You could share it.
You have to speak up, Sharon.
In this report, I had included the various motions that were in the report for June and July. These were motions that were to be brought to the LSB. We've never got to the Programming Oversight Committee report. And one of the critical points was, and I will simply read that, and then talk about the meeting that Sean and Armando and I had and how we will be proceeding. Most critically in the report for the 607 meeting, the following was noted. While not wishing to micromanage, the Programming Oversight Committee is concerned about the absence of reporting or apparent lack of follow-up on the recommendations of the PROC. We therefore request that the LSB urge the program director to be responsive to the recommendations of the PROC that are within its purview as derived from the bylaws, and it's quoted. Armando and Sean and I met to try and work through the issue of responsiveness, communication, and responsibility. We used as a point of departure some of these motions, these four motions that had been in our reports for 2 months, and we went through them one by one. I think we reached, there's one, the science and technology programming. I agreed with them that this was not part of the purview. That was a programming decision, even though I happen to think we also need more science and technology program. That was not really within the purview of the PROC. It was a programming recommendation. The other two, recruiting community voices for news commentators, Armando is going to send us a report on where that stands. It is being implemented. Integrating unpaid staff and functioning of the station, we have worked out a methodology for that, and I think that the PD now also understands why that is within the purview of the Programming Oversight Committee, because in the bylaws, it specifically talks about the station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and also evaluations are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner. So that means creating that community of paid and unpaid staff, which had been torn asunder in the view of several of us in the last 6 months. So we've worked out, we've agreed that that is indeed necessary, the evaluation process, and Sean to talk about this some more. We were basically asking not do it, but tell us what has happened on it. We've worked out and agreed that both Sean and Armando would be coming to the press meeting. And we will work on these things together. Is it something, in a lot of these cases, in fact, we've worked out you read the poor thing. And it doesn't even have to come to the LSD as a motion. It could be a simple report item. If it's a recommendation that the class makes and management who is sitting there is part of the discussion and agrees, then it's a report up. So I feel confident that we are developing a better communication process and better coordination. Armando is nodding. Are you nodding? John is nodding. I am nodding. It was a very productive meeting. We met for like 2 hours.
God bless two-way communication.
Thank you. Is that the end of your report?
Sean may want to make a few comments on that before he gets into his, the rest
of
his
report.
So there is nothing on the table at the moment for the LSB, and I think it makes the most sense whenever possible for it to be worked out with the GM and PD who will be attending the meeting. And if there's a conflict or we decide that we want to throw it to the LSB, then it will be. Otherwise, it could be a simple report out.
Thank you so much. Now I'd like to welcome the GM and also welcome the PD over there on the corner, too, that we had in Welcome Building.
Thank you very much.
While he's passing this out, I'm going to give you guys the results of the election. The four new members of the Conflict Resolution Committee are Mr. Yamanaka, our new member, Ms. Yarez, Ms. Goodman, Juarez, Ms. Goodman, and Mr. Yeki. First alternate is Edelson, and second alternate is Weatherwax, and the third alternate is Foyer.
Sorry, could you please repeat that?
The members are Mr. Yosh Yamanaka, Ms. Juarez, Goodman, and Yeki. And the chair is the fifth member of the Conflict Resolution. And the alternate, there are three alternates. The first alternate is Adelson, second, Weatherwax, and third is Foyer. Those are the results.
Good. So,
can you repeat it again? Yosh, Ms. Juarez, Ms. Goodman, and Lamont Yeki.
And the
alternate?
This is for the Committee of Conflict Resolution.
Exactly.
No, not the
other.
It's
the name has been changed. It's no longer the Ethics Committee. It is now the Conflict Resolution Committee.
Oh, okay.
The three alternates are Adelson, Weatherwax, and Foyer. All right.
Congratulations,
and back to the GM. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy week to assist with guiding and helping out the KPFK team. And two items here on my report. There's a lot to talk about, but this is about August, obviously. And August, primarily we're focused on our, what we call our summer sign-up, our mini drive. I did have an opportunity to send most of you, or all of you, and hopefully most of you were able to read my initial breakdown of the results of the mini drive. So this will be more or less a refresher of what occurred. Reminder about the drive, we decided to take a new approach. It was a new approach for myself, it was a new approach for KPFK, which was to focus heavily on our programming and our mission, step away a little bit from what might be considered traditional KPFK fundraising, which is heavily rooted in thank you gifts or premiums. And we didn't preempt any programs as well. If we did preempt a program, it was the host show to be preempted, if there were any preemptions. And the results, the bottom line results are poor in terms of funding, revenue, and the goals that we were shooting for was $300,000, 2,500 new or rejoining members. We did 1,200 plus pledges in the realm of half of our goal for pledges or members. Dollars, we fell short by a couple hundred thousand, a little more than a couple hundred thousand. We are currently doing some things. We have some tactics underway or exercises underway to mitigate the loss of revenue, which include on the 22nd of September, that week we will be phone banking with volunteers, and I encourage any of you who would like to join us to come in sometime that week. Tony, our volunteer coordinator, is the best person to speak with about that. We're going to attempt to recover unfulfilled pledges, which amount to more than $600,000 for the fiscal year. So the June drive alone has over $250,000 in unfulfilled pledges. I think it's a good place to look for revenue as we close out this fiscal year. We will be running a spot on the air soon as well, encouraging people to complete their pledges for the year, and we will let them know that we have over $600,000 in unfulfilled money out there. I think that might resonate.
Yes.
As far as going forward, I had a very productive finance committee meeting that I attended on
Thursday.
It was a lengthy meeting where I was able to listen to staff representatives and listener representatives, and I came away with, I think, some pretty good, strong guidance and recommendations for going forward, especially with our larger goal fundraisers, a million plus goals.